Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the man who's been called the Obi-Wan Kenobi of small business.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. May the force be with you. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We got our good buddy Rick Maurer back on the show. Rick is the author of Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and the one that I like a lot, but I especially like the title, Why Don't You Want What I Want? That's a constant refrain for me to my people here in my operation, and I don't always get good answers. Rick Maurer, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. It's good to be here.
Isn't it amazing? I keep asking that question. Why don't you want what I want? And I keep thinking, you know, that should work, but it doesn't always work.
Yeah, life isn't fair, Jim.
It is. What is the deal about that?
I don't know. People just aren't as smart as you and me.
Well, you know, wouldn't the world be a better place?
It would be. I tell my wife that every day.
And that doesn't work either, does it?
That doesn't work either, no. But I'm talking to our cat, and he seems to be gone along with it, as long as I have mackerel in my
right, head. Exactly. Hey, we're continuing our series on change.
Yeah.
And I was telling the audience, reminding them about that in the earlier part of the hour, and we're talking about the fact that that change is not something I've been saying for a long time now, Rick. Change is not the problem. The velocity of change, that's what's happening right now. And I wonder what kind of I wonder if maybe this is something that's having an impact on organizations. Statistically, over the years, the research for decades, you've done this. You've got all the numbers, Rick, on how effective change is, and the numbers aren't really very good. But I wonder if the velocity of change, the increase in velocity of change, which has happened in the last, just say, 20 years, 15 to 20 years, I wonder if that's having an increased negative impact on the success of making changes. Because, you know, didn't we just do this? What do you think, Rick?
Oh, yeah. I think it's velocity coupled with, in some organizations, the fact that people's teams are all over the place. Now, some of the clients I work with, all over the place means four continents. But
right.
It can be all over the city. It can be people that are out there in trucks who you never see, you know, until they, you know, turn the truck in at the end of the day. I mean, so we're not as much in a single location, and that makes it much harder because we don't have that face-to-face contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, messages get garbled when they go through somebody else, you know.
It's like the old thing about, the story that you tell one person and pass it down the line, and by the time it gets to the eighth person, it doesn't sound anything like the original.
Well, yeah, it's that plus, if you tell me something and say, Rick, this is really important for our organization, you say it with a great deal of passion and clarity, I say it to the next person. Not only do I garble the message, but my passion is a little less on the passion meter.
Right.
And by the time you get down to the eighth person, there ain't no passion left.
Well, and you know, we talk about the 6 degrees of separation in a positive way. We always think of it in a positive way because we think, okay, I'm only 6 degrees of separation away from, you know, anybody else in the world. And that's kind of exciting, but when we're talking about change, 6 degrees of separation is a dilution, not an increase, right?
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, by the time it gets farther down the line, by the time it moves down the line, it erodes. Typically, the impact of the change erodes.
I see what you're saying, and yes, I agree with you 100%.
And I wonder if that could be applied, if that's the way to think about change. So how do we do that? What have you learned? What do you teach your folks that you work with? What do you teach them about how to deal with this?
Well, if they have chronic change, if they have one project that doesn't go well, I mean, that's life. I mean, it's sad. You may lose money, but that's life. But if over and over you say, wait a minute, haven't I been here before?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we see this show last week?
And that's what you mean by chronic.
That's what I mean by chronic. You know, then I think what's the critical thing is for the leaders to, first of all, ask the question, do I know how to lead change? You know, could I pass
it? Would you stop for a second on that?
Yeah.
I told the audience earlier that you and other folks who are experts at change, have said to us, you know, I know you've said it to us, you can't deal with change in the 21st century. You can't even manage change anymore. You have to lead change. And I'm glad you said, that's the first thing you said just now, talking about this, was you got to lead change. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. That's absolutely right. So the first thing is, the people listening right now to say, do I know how to lead change? Do I know what comes first, second, third, fourth, that sort of thing? And the odd thing is, and if the answer is no, there's lots of good books out there. There's training you can go to. That shouldn't be a problem. I mean, my website's got a bunch of free stuff.
Well, and these two books I just mentioned, Beyond the Wall of Resistance, and Why Don't You Want What I Want? It's a pair. You're going to want both of them by Rick Maurer. Quick break, 20 till. Rick's going to give us some more of his pearls after these messages. Stay with us.
Life goes on day after day.
Little Jerry and the Pacemakers bringing us back, excuse me. That's Jerry with a G. I'm Jim Blassingame. That's Jim with a J. And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Lots of stuff there that will help you with your small business. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. And check out my blog, the knowledge base, the archives, the articles, et cetera, et cetera. And don't forget to check out our poll question on the homepage, right there on the homepage. Just click on the answer that you want to answer, and you'll see how the poll's going so far. Having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer. Rick, by the way, if you're Googling him, that's M-A-U-R-E-R, Rick Maurer, the author of Why Don't You Want What I Want and Beyond the Wall of Resistance. And we're talking about change. Rick, and we were just talking about, the way change affects us and how to lead change. You were telling us about leading change.
Yeah.
And you were saying, you know, you were giving us, about to give us some ideas on what that looks like, what leading change looks like.
Yeah. And what I'm really talking about right now are the people who are saying, wow, it's really frustrating. Time after time, we try to get something started and it dies. So the first thing is find out, do I know how to lead change? And the answer to that question often is, yeah, I do. Because there's been tons of good books out, there's been good training, all of that over the last 15 years or so. But if the answer is, yeah, I know how to lead change, then the question is, are you doing it?
Yeah.
Do you know how to put it in action? Like, for instance, I can watch golf on Saturday afternoon and maybe look at a couple instructional DVDs, but nobody's going to invite me to the Masters.
Right.
And, you know, because I don't own golf clubs.
Right.
I mean, I don't even get out there and do anything. You know, and that same phenomenon, as exaggerated as that is, happens in organizations, that people get training with very little chance to practice, maybe a role play or two. And then the next thing they do is they're asked to lead the Masters. And you go, wait a minute. And there's no chance to get out there on the driving range and make mistakes. And that is a huge, huge problem, is that we have this expectation because people sit in a room with darkened lights and they watch a bunch of slides and they hear some great stories, that they're now going to be pro golfers or great change leaders, and they're not. And so the big thing is you've got to build in ways where people can practice and make mistakes.
And you're talking about not just yourself, the leader, but your people.
Anybody who's going to be leading change has to be.
Because you have to have help, right? It's got to go down the line. I mean, you can't do this as the leader can't drive this bus from the front, right?
Well, the leader, he or she could drive it from the. Well, okay, yeah. Let me speak. You're absolutely right. The leaders, people need to know that man or woman is in charge of this and really wants it to happen. But
they
then there
have
needs
that.
To be a whole bunch of other people who are leading parts of that change, and they better be as skilled at leading change as you are.
It's like that hinged fire truck, you know, the one with the with the wheel in the back. They got to have somebody in the back driving it around the curves.
Yeah.
You know, the guy in the front's not going to get to the fire if the guy in the back doesn't drive right. Right.
That's a great image. I never thought of that.
Yeah, leave it to me.
Well, thank you. My highest honor is I'll use it without footnote.
Exactly. I'm afraid I have that kind of mind. But so one of the things I want to ask you, Rick, is, isn't one of the ways to believe that you can really lead change and not just manage it is to not fall in love with things? I try to remind people, You know, be careful what you fall in love with, because it might be holding you back. What do you think?
Well, yeah, and when it comes to change, is once I get an idea in my head and it starts to take shape, it sounds better and better and better. And the more I think about it, the less likely I am to turn to you and say, so, Jim, what do you think about it?
Right.
Because I don't want to – all I want to hear from you is, Rick, you did it again.
Right, right. And well, so see, I think about somebody who's an artist. If I were an – see, I'd be the worst artist in the world, even if I were a master art painter. I'd be the worst artist in the world because I wouldn't want to sell any of my stuff.
Huh.
I could never own an antique store because I love antiques.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
I do.
I'd want to keep it. I mean, I walk into antique stores and I meet people who own antique stores, and they act like they don't care what they've got in this building. Well, that's the only kind of person who could be an antique dealer.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to let it go. That's my point about not falling in love with something.
Yeah. No, that's true. And part of that letting go then is letting somebody else say, you know, Jim, that's a pretty good idea, but here's some ways we could make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't let go of that,
and say, tell me more.
Tell me exactly. Then people are going to go, what's the use? And every once in a while, you'll come up with something so brilliant, everyone will applaud, and that'll be okay. But that's a rarity.
Yeah. So you got to have collaboration. You got to have people who will buy into, they can't just buy into what you got on your mind. They have to be part of it, don't they? It has to be part of theirs, doesn't it?
Well, it does. But what you can do is say, look, folks, here's the challenge we're facing. This is why we've got to change now. And if you make a convincing case there, you can then jump to the goals. Forget about the strategies right now. You can jump to the goals and say, all right, here's what I'd like to see in the next 3 years. I'd like to see our costs go down by X percent.
Uh-huh.
I'd like to see us to move into new markets. Now, folks, I need your help in how are we going to get there?
So you're saying develop a change structure, a change attitude, a change methodology that overlays everything in the company, and you just plug in the various goals into that system. Is that what you're saying?
You know, I didn't say that, but I like it. I like it a lot.
Well, that's what I heard when you said that. You know, I mean, don't just reinvent a change system every time, because you're going to have to do this.
Right.
Your accounting, your sales. Let me tell you something, Rick. The way people are going to go to market in the second decade of the 21st century is not going to be like the way they went to market in the last decade.
Right.
And so they're going to have to change the way they sell things. I mean, folks, it's happening very fast. If you don't have your track shoes on, you're going to get run over. And track shoes is the only way you're going to be able to lead change. Quick break, Tintail, right back with Rick Maurer after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. We're having a great visit with our good friend Rick Maurer. He is our change expert in the Brain Trust. Rick, tell us how we can find you online, how we
sure
can
thing.
Find your books.
Yeah, it's www.rickmaurer.com. And
they can find your books there?
Yeah, my books are there. There's a free ebook. The new version of Beyond the Wall of Resistance that came out in June, it's there. And plus, there's all kinds of other free articles, including that ebook. So,
folks, if you want to learn how to lead change, not just manage it, not just deal with it, if you don't want to get run over, you need to find out what Rick's got going on. He will help you with that. And Rick, we appreciate your time all these years that you've been a member of our Brain Trust. We appreciate that very much. Help us as we wrap up the hour. Help us learn become better leaders of change.
Well, okay, so the big thing is, if you're the leader, you got to say, do I know how to lead change? And by the way, I said most people do know. The one area where leaders tend not to know much is why people actually resist change and why they support change. And if you can learn that, then you can look at your strategies and go, well, that's not going to work. Well,
say that again. Say that part about the people.
Yeah. Most people know the steps for leading change. That's pretty easy. But the place where I find that leaders really fail on this is that they don't understand why people would resist change or why they would support it.
So you're saying that without any kind of any kind of respect for that concept that you just gave us. Regardless of how great your idea is, you're starting out about to fail yourself.
Well, you are, and what you're left with...
It was never going to work.
Well, yeah, usually it's not going to work. I mean, statistics say 70% is going to fail. But if you know why people support and resist change, you can look at the strategies you're developing and you can go, oh, they're going to get excited about that, or, oh, no, they're going to everything's going to get quiet when we get to that. That's not going to be any good. You can now start to adapt textbook strategies. You can now start to adapt those plans that you used before that you thought were pretty good but couldn't figure out why they didn't work. You know, because you've got a way of looking at the people component, and that's what gets forgotten.
So you're saying that the people are not resisting your idea. They're resisting change, period.
Well,
and you're probably taking it personally because you think it's a great idea.
Yeah, well, you know, actually, I think there are three reasons why they resist. You know, they say, I don't get it, or I don't like it, or I don't like you.
Right, you've told us that. They're just not that into you, right?
Yeah, and well, I'm just not that into you. What it really means is I don't trust you to lead this project.
Right.
I might go, I like you well enough, but Rick, you drop things, you get excited. Uh-huh. 2 months later, you've moved on to something else. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot from when I used to be a consultant. Somebody would bring me in to make some changes, and I'd go out and talk to the people, and they say, "Well, you're just the guy of the month, you know."
Yeah, yeah.
There'll be another one behind you. We've been through this before.
Yep.
So we got to deal with the people because we got to understand the people, and is it possible though that the people are giving us good information?
Yes.
Is it possible that they're right and I'm wrong?
That's a hard one, but man, that's an important one.
You have to at least ask yourself that question, don't you?
Yes, and actually be excited about the answer. To say, you know, these people are closest to the work.
Yeah.
They're the closest to the customer. I really ought to be listening to them. And that doesn't mean that it doesn't go through your filters. It doesn't mean you don't chew on it. But it's, first of all, it's incredibly empowering mm-hmm. for the people, and it starts to increase your brain power because now you've got a lot of people thinking about the things that are important for your business
mm-hmm.
rather than you having to be the brilliant person sitting on a throne.
So you're saying instead of coming up with the idea of – instead of thinking you've got to come up with the idea of how you're going to save the company, just go to your people and say, okay, folks, we have these challenges. We have these threats. We have these opportunities. This is where we are. Can we all agree that this is where we need to go? Things are going to have to change to get there. What should we do about that? Is that how you approach it?
Well, that's one way to approach it. And I think it's a pretty good way to approach it. Or to say, hey, here's why we got to change. Here are the goals I think we need to meet.
Here's my idea.
Yeah, and here's a way that I think could get there. But let's chew on it. Let's rip it apart.
Yeah.
Let's see if my way is a good way.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, one of the most powerful phrases that any manager could have is it's very simple. Just say, what do you think?
That's a great one.
Isn't that a great? I think, folks, that's a great way to lead change. Well, is ask your people what they think. Rick, give us the website quickly one more time.
www.rickmaurer.com.
And the new version of Beyond the Wall of Resistance is out, right?
That's right.
Check it out, folks, right there at the website. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
See you next time. Rick Maurer, ladies and gentlemen. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll be back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.